Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
Good morning. Whew, I'm so glad you're here. Hey, if this is your very first time with us, if you're a guest, man, thank you for joining us this morning. My name's Trey Kelly. I'm the lead pastor here. Just want to introduce myself to you. And if it is your first time, we're in the middle of a series. We launched it last week. And the series is called Find Your Fit. And so if after today you want to go back and you're interested in how we got here, the best way to do that is we have an app, and you can download it. And all our content's there. You can stay connected with our church. But we put our sermons there so you can go there and you can watch and see where we've been. But I'm going to do a quick recap. If you were here last week, you know when you came in, you're given a puzzle piece. And the reason we did this is because we all inherently understand a few things about a puzzle piece. No one looks at a puzzle piece and thinks it's a mistake. We look at a puzzle piece and we inherently assume it has somewhere to fit. Because look at it. Someone designed this. Someone cut this out. They did it on purpose. And if you're a puzzle person, as much as you wish there were some defective pieces you could throw away, you know, if it's in the box, it fits somewhere. We just have to find it. Well, we began that conversation last week because this series is about us. And I don't know about you, but sometimes in my life, when I have a few places where I don't feel like I fit, I don't blame the fit. I blame myself. I figure maybe I'm a defective puzzle piece. And so last week we turned to God and he reminded us of something amazing. We're not defective. You're not defective. You're exactly who God created you to be. Because here's what we learned last week. God created you on purpose for a purpose. We spent our whole time together last week talking about that. So if you're new today, that may be hard for you to grasp. But again, go back. You can wrestle with it and you can go back and see how we got there last week. Or also, I'll just tell you the question we ended with, because this may help you kind of catch up to where we are. Here's a question we ended with last week. All right, so if God created me on purpose and for a purpose, am I experiencing that purpose? Do I feel like I'm walking where God wants me to walk? And for some of us, the answer is yes. For many of us, the answer is no. I'm not quite sure how to do that. And if that's you, it's okay. As we're going to find out today, you're in the right place and you're around the right people. Because, see, I think God gave churches the job. One of our roles is to help you discover and walk out your purpose. But again, I'm getting ahead of myself. First thing I wanted to do today is I kind of wanted to take us back and give us all a reminder of why we believe this. Last week we turned to the book of Ephesians, which is a letter written by this man named Paul. Paul was an apostle. Paul was picked by God to spread his message. And when Paul wrote letters, we know that God was speaking through Paul when he wrote these letters. And so it's as if God's speaking to us. And we turn to the letter that he wrote to the Ephesians because it's in this letter that he clearly kind of distills for us God's plan for our life. And last week we ended with this amazing truth. Paul writes that we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. See, God created us on purpose and he has good things planned. And if you consider yourself a Christ follower, he wants you to walk in those. One of the things I love about our church is that each week we have people who attend who don't necessarily believe what we believe. And so if you're here this morning and someone invited you and you're here and you liked the music, but you're not sure about this Jesus guy, man, we're honored that you're here. You're one of the people we created our church for. And we invite you to belong. One of our core values is you can belong before you believe. That means you can jump in, you can join a group, you can serve. Because here's what we've all discovered. The more time we spend around people who are in love with Jesus, the more likely it is we will fall in love with Jesus. And that's all we want. To fall in love with Jesus so that you can experience this, so that you can experience what it feels like to recognize you are God's masterpiece, you are God's creation. He wants to work through you because there's good things he has planned, both for you and through you. Now, again, If you're new to church, if you're new to faith, that sounds like a lot to promise. But as I say all the time, you don't have to take my word for it. And Paul didn't stop in chapter 2. See, a few chapters later in chapter 4, Paul picks back up on this. And he begins explaining to them and us, okay, so if I'm built on purpose, if I'm created on purpose for a purpose, where do I discover this purpose? How do I know what it is? Where do I find it? Where do I get equipped? Where do I get trained? And I'll just go ahead and tell you, for Paul, his answer was the local church. Because Paul could not imagine what's become normal now. In 2026, you can be a Christ follower and not have a local church. There's the internet, you can watch stuff online, that's completely easy. But when Paul was beginning the mission, when Christianity was first forming, that would have been a crazy thought to Paul. He had no concept of that. Because everywhere Paul would go, he would lead people to Christ and he would immediately gather them into a group. Because Jesus had said over and over and over, hey, do this together. And Paul understood people need support. They need community. So Paul would start a church. And once that church was healthy, he would go to a new area and do the same thing. So when Paul's writing about pursuing our purpose, for him, pursuing our purpose outside of the church would have never crossed his mind. Because that was never part of God's plan. And so when Paul's writing about God's purpose, he's explicitly talking about it within the confines of God growing us and cultivating us within a local church, within the local body, the local expression. So much so when he's writing to the Ephesians, here's what he says. He says, these are the gifts that Christ gave to the church. Now, when Paul writes about the church, or the ecclesia, the gathering, sometimes he means the global universal body, but I believe in this letter, he's talking to individual churches, individual congregations, individual little pockets that God gives them gifts so that they can do what they're being called to do. What are the gifts? The apostles, these are the men who walked with Jesus. The prophets, these are the men who wrote the Old Testament. So you have the writers of the New Testament, the writers of the Old Testament. The evangelists, these are the men and women who took the very first century and then spread it out. And then we have the pastors and the teachers, the men and women who lead churches and who lead people to faith and who understand the church. Paul is saying the church is so important that God gave the church gifts. We have his word, we have the New Testament, we have the Old Testament, and we have men and women called by God to lead. And you're all nodding along, you're like, yeah, we get that. The Bible and church staff, we understand. Here's the part I think we miss from the paradigm Paul is presenting. Their responsibility, meaning the leaders, meaning me, meaning our staff, is to equip God's people, that's you, to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. I'll pause here because I grew up in church. Maybe some of you did as well. We have flipped this, I believe. I think most of us come to church now with the opposite expectation. We think we go to church, the ministers minister to us, they do the work of ministry, we receive the work of ministry. I think that's how most of us think about it. But that's not what Paul says. Paul doesn't say people in the church simply receive. What Paul's saying is it's the leader's job to equip, to prepare you to do the work, for you to do the ministry in the body of Christ. That's the way Paul talks about the church. He calls it the body of Christ. It's his way of saying when he left, he gave us the Holy Spirit, and he expects his followers to live in such a way that we are literally the hands and feet of Jesus, that he left himself on earth because he touches lives through us. So with all that said, one of the things we say a lot around here is this. We believe that we all have a role to play in God's story. See, we know it's not just about me and Eric and Terry. Like, it's not just about us. We can do ministry. We love doing ministry. But our calling is to equip, is to prepare each and every one of you to do ministry. Each and every one of you to be the hands and feet of Jesus. And I know when I say that, for some of us in this room, we like it. For others of us, we look around and we think, man, I think you got the wrong person. Because I have seen the people that God uses in this church. And man, I'm not wired like them. Anybody ever thought that? Has anybody ever decided, hey, I can't serve here because I don't look like them? You ever had that concept? See, I think that's the reason that Paul calls us the body of Christ. Because he's trying to give us an image that we all understand. We all understand that we have one body, but it's many different parts. Our bodies would not function if it was all ear. Like, it wouldn't work. We have to have different parts. And what Paul's trying to teach us is we will not all look the same. We will not all have the same job. We won't have the same responsibilities because we don't have the same giftings. But when we all come together and submit and trust, hey, use what you've put in me, Jesus, we can trust that he's going to make us an effective part of the body. This is why at our church we say all the time that we believe that there's power in your story. Because you are the only you God ever made. And he made you on purpose. And he gave you gifts and strengths and talents and abilities that he never gave anyone else in the exact makeup he gave you. You've also had life experiences. You've had highs. You've had lows. And if you weren't a Christian then, or if you were, God was with you then. If you've become a Christian now, God can still go back into your past and redeem it. He can use our past. And so one of our jobs as the staff is to help you discover the power in your story, to help you discover the unique way God created you, the unique experiences you've had, to help you discover some of the areas in your life where God has healed you, where you found victory over. Because what we know is those are the things God has put in you for a purpose. And if we can help equip you and get you in a place where you can actually exercise what God's put in you, guys, everything changes. And you don't have to take my word for it. That's what Paul says next. Paul says, this will continue. The this is everything we're doing. The this is the men and women called to lead a church, equipping and guiding, and the men and women in the church being used by God to accomplish his purposes. What he's saying is when we submit and when we say, all right, God, use me, and when we begin walking out the purposes that he created us for, something happens inside of us. And I'll show you what it is. This will continue the serving, the basically all our time on earth, as long as we are submitted to our King. Here's what he promises he's going to do. This is going to continue until we all come to such unity in our faith. We're going to grow closer together. Knowledge of God's Son, that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Here's what he's saying in a nutshell. When we embrace the purposes for which God created us, when we do that, we grow up. That's what he means. We become healthier. God begins to move in our hearts, and God heals addictions. God sets us free from bad habits. We begin to discover that our temper is a little easier to control than it was before. We begin to discover it's a little easier to be kind and gentle. It's a little easier to forgive. It's a little easier to obey. It's a little easier to do exactly what God has been calling us to do. And it happens by submitting ourselves to our King and saying, hey, I know what you've put in me. Use it however you want. That's what he's inviting us to do. And when we do that, he changes us. He gives us clearer eyes. He gives us confidence. He fills us with the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So leaning in and discovering who God created us to be and walking in the good things he's planned for us is incredibly beneficial to us. We grow up. We become mature versions of ourselves because we begin to look and act and think and feel like Jesus. He begins to grow us up. So it's incredibly beneficial personally, but that's not all. As this is happening, Paul says, he also makes the whole body fit together perfectly. He, again, is Jesus. And see that? He makes the whole body fit. See, y'all thought we just came up with a catchy title. Find your fit. No, it's right there. Jesus' plan, I believe, for every local body, every local expression, is to help people. If it's your local church, you have a fit. And I don't say you have a fit. He does. You have a purpose. There's something that you can not only benefit from, there's something you can contribute. And as you contribute, I want you to see what happens. Because it doesn't just benefit us. As God makes the whole body fit together perfectly, why is this? As each part, that's me, that's you, that's all of us, as we do our own special work, as we walk where God's told us to walk, watch this. When we do that, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. See, it doesn't just benefit us. Pursuing our purpose is about benefit, absolutely. But we pursue our purpose because God's created us to contribute. God's created us to make a difference in the world. God's created us to influence other people, to impact other people through what he's put in us. Put another way, what Paul is saying is that God designed you to be a blessing to other people. He did. You have gifts, strengths, talents, and abilities. You have life experiences. And God intends to use that to bless others. Put another way, someone else needs what God put in you. I mean, it's undeniable. This is exactly what he's saying. He's saying someone else needs what God put in you. You have something to offer. You have something to contribute. How do I know? Because you're still breathing. If you have a pulse, you have a purpose. And I know in a room like this, there's many of you are like, well, that's fine. And I know you got to say that. I know you got to preach that. But you don't know me. You don't know my story. You're right. I don't know your story. But can I tell you something I do know? That there's power in your story. You don't think God can redeem your past? Read the Bible. That's all he does. This guy, the Apostle Paul, the guy who's writing these letters, you know what he was doing pre-Jesus? He was hunting Christians. And then he had an encounter with the living God and he radically changed his life. See, we spend too much time thinking we've disqualified ourselves because of things we've done in the past. But when we take our disqualifications and submit them to Jesus, you know what they become? They become blessings. They become wisdom. They become confidence. Who better to walk alongside someone that has just had the biggest failure of their life than someone who said, 5 years ago, that was me. Here's what God has done since. I'll walk with you in that season. See, it's not just the gifts. It's not just the talents. It's not just our strengths. We all know what we like. We all know what we're good at. But I think we miss the power that comes from our story. I say this all the time about Wellspring. There is nothing you can be walking through right now in life, in a church our size, where we can't find someone who's on the other side. That's the gift of community, is we don't have to go through things alone. We can share with people. We can offer to people. We can bring our gifts and talents to people, and we can watch God use them. I'll tell you personally, there is nothing as satisfying as watching God use something he put in you to bless someone else. And hear what I said, that he put in you. It is the most humbling experience of your life. To watch the God of the universe take your mistake, redeem it, and then use your story to bless and encourage someone else. You have no idea what God has in store for you. Or actually, maybe you do. Think about your story. Think about the highs. Think about the lows. Think about what God has brought you through. And understand, he did that not just for your benefit. He did that because somewhere along the way, someone else in this body is going to need what God put in you. And so our job is to equip. Our job is to prepare. Our job is to position. And look, some of you have been around church so long. I know what you're thinking. This is nice. This is fancy. They just want me to sign up to hold babies. That's it. This is just about getting... I get it. I've been around church long enough. There's a lot of people who think at the end of the day, we're just trying to fill roles. So I'll be super honest with you. Not what I'm doing. We're pretty good, actually. We could always use new people, but this isn't about our need. I'm preaching this because of your need. And I say it, I love you so much. You need to be plugged in to community. You need to be submitting your gifts and your talents to your king so that he can do the work inside your heart that Paul talked about, so that he can help you overcome those struggles. Because it is here, it is in the serving we do here that God equips us and prepares us for what he wants us to do out there. If you're married today, your highest calling on earth is to be the spouse God created you to be for your spouse. You want to be equipped to be a better husband or a better wife? Start serving. You have kids? One of your highest callings is to raise those children in the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord and to direct them to him. And you say, I don't know how to do that yet. Of course you don't. It's our job to teach you. But it's not just teaching, it's equipping, it's preparing. And you want to be equipped to be a patient dad? Serve on Sunday mornings. Practice some patience. I've done whole sermons before where men of a certain age will remember the Karate Kid. The Karate Kid is such a spiritual picture of serving in church. Wax on, wax off is the same as opening the door. We're glad you're here this morning. See, that's the beauty of it. God has designed this place and these people where we can practice. We can practice being kind. We can practice putting other people's needs first. We can practice uniting under someone else's vision. And as we practice that and we do that in here, as we play our role in here, Paul's already told us, we not only become the men and women God created us to be, but he uses us to bless other people. So if you want to be a better spouse, serve. You want to be a better parent? Serve. Surrender your gifts and talents to your king and say, hey, you made me. And I've got all this other stuff going on, but I want to be equipped. I want to be the man you've created me to be. I want to be the woman you've created to be. Here's what you've put in me, Jesus. How do you want to use it? You will never go wrong submitting your talents to your king and saying, all right, what do you want to do? And that's all this is. Selfishly, I wish every single one of you served every single week. And it has nothing to do with making my life easier. It's because I know there's nothing you could do to position yourself more, to allow God to do the supernatural work in your life and your heart, to turn you into the men and women he created you to be. So some of you are like, he's passionate about serving. Yes, I am. Because my calling is to equip you for the life God called you to live. And I know that equipping happens here. Now, it happens other places as well. I'm not saying this is the only place. But it's in this place. It's as we serve together, as we understand each other, that God shows us what he was doing in our past. Some of you have been wondering for 20 years why something happened to you. It was evil that happened to you. God didn't cause that. But what our king can do is he can redeem it. He can take that evil that happened to you. He can heal you from it. And then he can position to you to walk with other people who are hurting. You can physically be the hope they need. That's how church is supposed to work. And that's what we're trying to do. So, as we wrap up, yes, I would love for you to step into serving today. I would. Our lobby is full. We have people out there, and you can have conversations. You also may notice you'll got these fancy little bands when you came in. If you looked around, you can see it says tap to scan. If you take your phone, you can do it right now, I don't care, and tap it, it's going to pop up a website called Find Your Fit, and it has literally every way in our church you can take a step. Because we want to make it easy. We want to make it easier for you to invite your friends and your family. You can have a conversation with them and be talking about church, and they say, tell me more about your church, and you'd be like, tap that, baby. And they just boom. I want to make it easy. Because, yes, I would love every single one of you to be serving. Absolutely. Not for me, because I know it's what's best for you. So, a couple of questions I want you to think about. Then we're going to enter our response time, and some of you can do whatever you're going to do, and the ones who aren't going to do anything can just sing and leave. I mean, it's going to happen. I made peace with that a long time ago. But I hope you'll think about it. In fact, forget about serving for a minute. Just think about these questions. What am I good at? Everybody can think about that. You know there's certain things, man, God's just gifted you naturally at and you enjoy doing. What are you good at? Have you ever thought maybe God made you good at that because he wanted to use it for his glory? One of the things I love about our church, we have people up here during the week. We have people who cut things, and we have people who fix things. We have building teams. I mean, we have counting teams. We have teams for every skill set. So what are you good at? Another question. What do I care about? What stirs your heart? I got a question for those of you who are Wellspringers. Here's one. What about our church drives you crazy? It's okay. I know this stuff. Let me help. If it drives you crazy, God may be calling you to fix it. Because if he's not, it doesn't drive you that crazy. But what do you care about? What's passionate? And then last question, where am I needed? See, I like that question because I've been doing this long enough. It's occurred to me, and it may occur to you, that when you look at our fit is often found where our gifts meet someone else's needs. Parents, you know this. You've experienced this already. Your kid goes through something, and it just happens to be something you also went through in high school or in middle school, and you're like, man, it's not always, but occasionally you're like, man, I know exactly what to do here. I've been through this. Yeah, it's because God prepared you to raise your children. That's what he was doing. And so sometimes our fit is found where our gift be someone else's need. So here's how I want you to close it. Here's how I want us all to pray. All right? I want us to pray, and then we'll be done. Today, hey, God, would you please show me who needs what you put in me? That's the question. Who needs it? And here's the thing. The person who needs what they put in you could be out there. God's going to equip you in here. And no way am I saying serving is our purpose. Serving is how we become equipped and prepared for our purpose. Our purpose is to be the men God created us to be. Our purpose is to love like Jesus and lead people to Jesus. That's it. But there is no arena in life where it doesn't get easier to love Jesus and to lead people to Jesus. There's nowhere serving Jesus inside his church doesn't make that easier. Because he prepares us. He matures us. He blesses us. And he empowers us to be a blessing to others. That's the plan. But I say it all the time. Jesus is a gentleman. He waits to be invited in. And so today, he's waiting for us to say yes. He's waiting for us to step. We have to let someone know. We have to ask a question. We have to sign up. We have to take a step. That's why we have the bracelet. That's why we're out in the lobby. But during our response time, ask God what step He wants you to take today to begin serving, to begin playing your role here, because it's going to bless you and it's going to bless others. And it's going to equip us for everything God wants to do. During our response time, as normal, our prayer team will be down front. If you have any prayer requests, they'd love to pray over you. Communion's available. But as we sing, God, show me who needs what you've put in me. And then take a step. Step into volunteering. Step into using your gifts so that you can be equipped to play the role God created each of us to play. Let me pray. Father, we love you so much. God, we're just thankful for your Son. We're thankful for his truth. I thank you that you've created us. I thank you that you love us. I thank you've created us on purpose, and we have gifts and strengths, and you can even redeem the pain from our past. Father, today we just submit it all to you. We ask you to show us where we fit so that we can be equipped to play the role you've created us to play. We love you. We thank you. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Let's respond.